Well, morning, folks. It's good to be with you this morning, whether you're here in the auditorium or whether you're listening online. I pray that God will bless you as we gather around His Word and listen for Him speaking to us through His Word this morning. Since this week is the last Sunday of the year, I want to talk about what the Bible says about how to give thanks. Some people are really good at showing their appreciation. I'm not sure I'm one of them this morning, so I need to listen as I'm sharing this with you. Research has shown that the healthiest emotion a person can have is the attitude of gratitude. It makes us feel better. It makes us live longer. It's a stress reliever. It's been shown through studies that if you're a grateful person, you will live a happier and a healthier life. So this morning we're thinking about how do we develop an attitude of gratitude. Mariah, who's not well this morning, sent me an email. So we do a little summary of what's going to be in the service about the middle of the week, and you can see it if you look up the church's Facebook page. And she came back to me this morning and said, looking forward to the message tomorrow. Well, she's not here, but anyway. I have a quote that, not sure if it will be helpful, but I will share. It says, gratitude is not merely an emotion, it's a decision. Gratitude is not merely an emotion, it's a decision. So let me sidetrack and say, if through the week you read what we're going to be talking about on Sunday and you want to send me or Brody or whoever's preaching some thoughts or ideas or suggestions, do that. We don't guarantee to use them, but they're always helpful. So if you've got something that you want to send to us before a message on Sunday, then please do that. God wants us to be appreciative. God wants us to have a continuous attitude of thankfulness. So in Thessalonians, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then in Colossians 2, verse 7, in the Living Bible, it says, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving. Paul's saying that giving thanks is always in season, and he wants us to develop this attitude of gratitude to continually be grateful. So how do we develop that attitude? Well, we're going to look a little bit at the Apostle Paul, because he was a professional at giving thanks. He was a master at it. He lived a life of perpetual thanksgiving, not only to God, but also to other people. In fact, in every letter that Paul wrote in the New Testament, he thanks God for the people there. And so he teaches us how to be appreciative and how to have an attitude of gratitude. So I want to look briefly at why we express appreciation, what we should express appreciation for, and how we show it. Those three things. Why express appreciation? The reason for expressing appreciation is found in the meaning of the word. The word appreciation literally means to raise in value. When something appreciates, it raises in value. If you bought a home in Sydney 15 years ago, you know the meaning of appreciation. If you bought Telstra stock, you know the meaning of depreciation. If you've ever bought a new car and you've driven it out of the dealer's yard, the moment it hits the road, it starts depreciating. To appreciate means to raise in value. And that's not only true of things, it's true of people. When you appreciate somebody, you literally raise their value. And we ought to appreciate people because it increases their self-worth and it increases their value. So the Bible says in Thessalonians, encourage one another and build each other up. God says, I want you to develop the attitude of building other people up with your words. Appreciation raises value. William James said, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. I read recently in England that they have a thing called dial a compliment. If you're feeling kind of bad and run down, you can just dial a compliment and they'll brag about you over the phone. Or I read about an organ company in San Francisco that produces an organ called the Concert Master organ that has a built-in recording, and as soon as you finish playing something, it breaks out in automatic applause. That's the kind of organ I'd like to have. I could be playing chopsticks. And I'd stop and it'd start applauding for that. We love to be appreciated. Mark Twain said, I can go 2 months on one good compliment. I can go 2 months on that. We all like to be appreciated. We all like to feel good about what's going on in our lives. He said, build others up. We kind of know when kids get hungry, they get cranky. When people get hungry emotionally, they get cranky too. You probably know some people who are starving for appreciation. So what does Paul say, and how does he teach us how to be appreciative? So as we prepare to think about those two things, let's pray. Ah, Lord, sometimes your word is very direct, and you tell us that we are to be thankful people and we are to build each other and other people in our lives up to appreciate their value. So help us as we do that, not just to think about that this morning, but help us to become thankful people in the daily practice of our living, day by day, moment by moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's three things that I think we ought to appreciate in people, and these are three things that sometimes we overlook. Paul says in Philippians, which by the way is a thank you letter, he says appreciate people's loyalty. When somebody has stuck with you, been faithful through thick and thin, when they've stayed with you, when you could count on them, that's what Paul's appreciating in Philippians. So notice in chapter 1 it says, I thank God for you every time I think of you. Because of the way in which you helped me in the work of the gospel from the very first day until now, both now that I'm in prison and also while I was free. What's he talking about? Well, the Philippians were kind of Paul's booster club. They were his fan club. They were his supporters. They prayed for him. They cheered him on. They said, go for it, Paul. And Paul's saying, I want you guys to know that I appreciate you because you've been loyal. You've been supportive. You've stuck with me. The point is, behind the scenes people deserve appreciation. They don't have to be spectacular. They don't have to be unusual. They don't have to get the headlines. Maybe they just stayed with you. Some of us have marriage partners who are extremely patient with us. Maybe they've just hung in with us. You were going through a major career change. You stumbled and you had an affair. You didn't know where you were going. You had a death in your family. You had a midlife crisis. And they were just there being patient and quiet and hanging in there with you. They weren't doing or saying anything spectacular, but they stayed with you. Paul says we ought to appreciate that. Appreciate the fact that people just stay with us. How many of you have been to Yellowstone? So why is Old Faithful so popular? It's not the biggest geyser in the world. No way. What people appreciate about it is it's consistent. It's reliable. It's faithful. Paul says appreciate faithfulness. He says, you've been with me from the very first day. Just when Paul, when he started this church in Philippi, some of you have been with church in the marketplace, certainly here from the beginning. You've been positive through all the changes. You've been patient with my mistakes while I've been here. And I just want to say, I appreciate you because you've hung in there. You've stayed with it. You've watched the ministry of church in the marketplace, its ministry and mission continue and grow. And I think one of my greatest joys is the fact that I know that there are people in this church I can count on, Brody can count on. You people are incredibly loyal. Paul says, learn to appreciate people's loyalty. Who's been loyal to you that you need to appreciate? Paul says, appreciate that. Secondly, I think we need to appreciate people's differences. Not just their loyalty, but also their differences. We don't insist that everybody think and act and feel just like we do. We learn to enjoy people's uniqueness, their individuality. Differences aren't wrong, they're just different. So in Colossians, Paul says, be patient and tolerant with one another, always ready to forgive if you have a difference with anyone. For you were called to live as one united body and always be thankful. What he's saying here, he's saying appreciate people's differences. We need differences. Differences provide balance in our marriages, our churches, our schools. We need each other. Paul says, learn to appreciate the fact that people are different. Excuse me. Thank God that we're not all the same. How boring that would be if you were all like me. Can you imagine that? Variety is the spice of life, they say. He says, learn to appreciate our differences. I think it's an evidence of God's great sense of humour that he loves to put opposites together in a marriage. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that if you're in a marriage, somebody is an early riser, up and into the pool, let's go for it, and take on the world, and the other one wants to hibernate until noon. Or one of you is daring and impulsive and go for it and take risks, and the other one is cautious and conservative. Or one of you loves to talk, and you know every detail, and you go on and on and on, and your partner is deaf and dumb. When it comes to money, one of you loves to spend money. You have that bumper sticker on your car that says, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. You love to spend money. You love to buy things. And your mate is a, what's that charming expression, a tightwad, is that it? We're different. He says, learn to appreciate our differences. They're not wrong. They are just different. Paul says, we want to be grateful. We appreciate people's loyalty, and then we appreciate people's differences. Differences provide balance in our marriages and our ministries. Appreciating them is a mark of maturity. And then he says, there's a third thing we ought to appreciate. In Thessalonians, he says, we ought to appreciate people's effort. In other words, don't take them for granted, regardless of the results. So 1 Thessalonians says, we always thank God for you, how you put your faith into practice, and how your love made you work so hard. Paul says we ought to appreciate when people put in the effort, whether it's perfection or not. He says, appreciate people when they work hard. What's the point? The point is, we don't have to be perfect to be appreciated. Too often we nag at people instead of bragging about them. We give them pokes instead of strokes. As a parent, I guess I have a greater appreciation for my own parents. Don't you, if you're a parent? It takes enormous energy and effort just to corral the kids, much less teach them anything. Have you ever considered how much easier life would have been for your parents if it weren't for you? I'm not sure what you're laughing about. Ever driven through the redwoods in California? You know those huge trees. And when you cut down a redwood tree, like other trees, it has rings in it. But you can tell the years of crisis in a redwood tree by the size of the ring. A small ring means it was a year of crisis. A wide ring means it was a year of bounty and plenty. I think I can tell my life history by how much grey hair. I'm just saying, appreciate people's effort. Why am I making a big deal about it? It's so important. God put it in the Ten Commandments. He says, honour, appreciate your father and mother. He says, I want you to develop the attitude of gratitude. Why? Because everybody needs to be built up. We need to appreciate people's loyalty, and we need to appreciate people's differences. We need to appreciate people's efforts. Whether they get the job done, whether it's perfect or not, just appreciate. And so finally, how do we appreciate? This is what Paul says, and we could practice that this week. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. So first he says, if you're going to appreciate people, if you're going to be grateful, it needs to be real. It needs to be genuine. It needs to be sincere and heartfelt. no ulterior motives. We're not trying to get something from them. Somebody said when somebody pats you on the back, he often wants you to cough up something. When somebody pats you on the back, he often wants you to cough up something. Paul's saying here, be genuine. Be real. Don't just use people. Be real. So Paul says then our appreciation needs to be recognisable. When we're grateful to somebody, when we express appreciation, it needs to be recognisable. Have you ever had a compliment that you didn't really know if it was a compliment or not? Yeah? It wasn't specific. He's saying, be clear, be specific. We can learn to do it, share a recognisable compliment. Proverbs says, what a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. He says, when you make a compliment, make sure it's genuine. Make sure people understand. Folks, I want you to know, I really appreciate your comments after our services. But sometimes I'm not really sure I understand what you mean. I mean, someone came up to me and said, Peter, whenever you speak, I think it's never going to get better. I think you can take that one of two ways. Or I had a man who used to fall asleep during a service, and he came up one day and said, Peter, you probably noticed my eyes were closed during the message, but I'm sure I didn't miss anything. Not sure what he meant by that. There's a story told about a pastor who cut himself shaving and he wore a big Band-Aid on his face to church. And he explained during the announcements, he said, folks, I'm sorry for this Band-Aid, but I was thinking about my sermon this morning and my mind was on my sermon and I cut my chin. And then he got up and he preached for nearly an hour. And after it, one of the elders came up to him and said, Pastor, next time keep your mind on your chin and cut your sermon. It's the end of the year, what can I say? It needs to be recognisable. Don't beat around the bush. Notice it says in Proverbs, a word of encouragement does wonders. So be specific. Tell people when you appreciate them. It needs to be real and it needs to be recognisable. And then thirdly, it needs to be regular. Notice 2 Thessalonians said, we ought to continually thank God for you. Constantly. Continually. Why? Because it's such a tremendous motivator. Somebody said a pat on the back gets more results than a kick in the pants. A pat on the back gets more results than a kick in the pants. Regular appreciation. Galatians 6 says, whenever we can, we should always be kind to everyone and especially our Christian brothers and sisters. The King James Version says, as we have the opportunity. What's the point? The point is give people flowers when they can smell them, when you've got the opportunity. A single rose, somebody said now, a single rose now is better than an entire wreath at their funeral. A single rose now is better than an entire wreath at their funeral. If you appreciate somebody, tell them while they're alive. I read this week in an article about Alex Haley. Alex Haley was the guy who wrote Roots. And he says he had this experience one Thanksgiving when he was a young man. He was in the Coast Guard. And all day he'd worked in the galley preparing and serving Thanksgiving dinner for the crew. And after he'd finished cleaning up, he went to his bunk exhausted. And he stretched out and he began thinking about the meaning of Thanksgiving. And he reversed the words, giving thanks. And the idea came to him that he ought to give thanks for the people who'd made the greatest difference in his life. And naming seven of them, he was shocked to realise that four of them were already dead and he had never told them how much he appreciated them. And he goes on and he tells a story about how he took out a piece of paper and he wrote three letters, one to his grandmother, one to his father and to a school principal who had prayed in the class every day when the school started and it had made a difference in his life. And he goes on in the article and shares how that letter made a difference for each one of them. So, who have we taken for granted in our lives? Who do we need to be thankful for? Is there somebody who's put in the effort and we just need to tell them thanks? Is there someone who's stuck with you? Maybe they weren't somebody particularly special or somebody spectacular. They never got their picture in the newspaper or the headlines, but they just hung in there with you. They stayed with you. Who can you say thanks to this week as we wind up a year? Who can you say thanks to? So let me give you that little project. Sometime this week, go out and write a note, make a phone call, reach out and touch somebody and tell them, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you. That's a Christ-like thing to do. You know, the Bible lists ingratitude with a list of sins that include witchcraft, occultism, rebellion, and atheism. Ingratitude is in that list. God says ungratefulness is just wrong. So who can we say thanks to? And most importantly, as we wind up, how have we said thanks to God? Because we owe God everything. You say, what's God ever done for me? Well, he's done a lot for you. We wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for God. We owe him our very life. 2019 years ago, God came to earth. We've just celebrated Christmas so we could get to know him. He came to earth in the form of a human being. His name was Jesus Christ. He walked around the earth for 33 years so people could see that's what God is like. It's hard for us to relate to some just spirit in the sky, but we can relate when we see flesh and bones. The Bible says that he came to bring us back to God and restore that relationship. He died on the cross, like our first song said for us. You say, I don't understand it all. That's okay. Just understand that he did it for you. It's a gift. And in gratitude, we ought to give him our lives. We just say, God, you made me. You saved me. You offered me salvation. I accept it and I want it in my life. Thank you. Let's take a moment to pray. And just silently for a while, who do you need to be grateful for? Who do you need to appreciate this week? Someone behind the scenes, somebody who's just stuck with you. They've been faithful through thick and thin, and you can count on them. They were just there and you knew it. Maybe they're really different from you. And maybe rather than appreciating, you've depreciated your differences. Or perhaps instead of bragging, you're nagging. Your differences aren't wrong, they're just different. So just say, Lord, help me to be mature. Help me to appreciate people's uniqueness and see that it's not a matter of right or wrong, it's just a matter of we're different. Some people are starving for appreciation, they're not finding it at home, so they're looking for it in other places. If you would just make a commitment in your heart and say, I'm going to compliment them as often as I can. It's a tremendously powerful tool, the power of praise. And then would you appreciate people's effort? Maybe our parents. Nobody's perfect. You aren't. I'm not. But at least they're trying. Appreciate the effort. Your husband, your wife, your parents, your kids, your friends, your extended family. And then express your gratitude to God. Would you say something like this in your heart? God, thank you for all that you've done for me. I owe you everything, even my life. Help me to be more grateful. Jesus loves us. He has a purpose for our lives. No purpose, no person is here on this earth by accident. So Jesus, help me to know you better. I don't understand it all, but I ask you to come into my life and make yourself real to me. As best as I know how, I want to do what's right. I want to live for you out of gratitude. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, help us develop the attitude of gratitude that we might be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.